Hi. How y'all doing? Good. Good. You can be seated if you'd like. Praise God. I was almost in a lot of world of hurt. Our house is in a state of topsy-turvy. Things that used to be where they were are no longer there, and I have no idea where the new there is. So consequently, my Bible / iPad is AWOL. So luckily, I copied and pasted all of my scriptures in my notes, so I'm good to go there. But I thought that Pastor Roy, when he started preaching Sunday night, I thought, oh no, he's got my message. I may have to recalibrate come Wednesday night, but he kind of took it a little bit slightly different direction, but the theme was very, very similar to what I want to bring to you tonight. I'll just take that as God must want us to hear this. So I'd like to, for Pastor Roy, if you could, just pray that God would use me and anoint me tonight. Yes, thank you, Pastor Roy. I'd like to start off by Romans 12. Now, when I read on my laptop. I read my Bible on my laptop. I use Bible Gateway, and there's about 47 different versions. So consequently, I flip back and forth between a bunch of different versions. So a lot of these scriptures that I copied and pasted are not in the King James Version. In fact, this first one is from the Living Bible, and I don't think we have that in our computer, but follow along in the King James. I'm just going to read this out of the Living Bible. Romans 12, verse 1 says, it says, "And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. As God's messenger, I give each of you God's warning. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. Love each other with brotherly affection, and take delight in honoring each other." I'd like to jump to Ephesians 5, starting with verse 21. And again, I'm not sure what version this is, but "And further, starting in verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. Now, don't let your mind wander by me reading all this scripture. One last scripture. 1 Corinthians 14:40. "However, be sure that everything is done properly in a good and orderly way." God is a very orderly God. He's got it all together. He's not at all like me. He's very, very orderly. He has very well-defined ways in which he works. And the goal of Satan is to disrupt that order in any and every way that he can. Because he realizes that if he can misalign the church and get it out of order, that he will destroy the efficiency of the church. So I want to speak for a short while tonight on the subject, getting things in order. Getting things in order. Looking back over my nearly 60 years of living, I can detect a very traceable pattern in the strategy of the enemy. One, he ridicules God's order. Two, he attacks God's order and then he vilifies it. Three, he then convinces mankind that mankind himself can achieve greater order outside of God. And four, finally, he puts within mankind a crazy passion to convert the rest of the world to this new order that he has invented. This is as old as man. It dates back to the Garden of Eden. And you know where I'm going with this. When the serpent came to Eve and asked her, "Hath God said?" He did all four of those things. God said that? Don't eat this. And you know the rest of the story. But he convinced her that God's order was, first of all, false, that God had implemented the order for selfish reasons, and that she could be liberated by defying God's order, and then sent her to Adam to convince him to join her in her rebellion. In 1940, H.G. Wells wrote a book entitled The New World Order, where he promoted a new way to bring lasting peace after World War II brought destruction. And in 1944, a book of the same title was authored by a Muslim author, Maulana Muhammad Ali, claiming that only Islam could bring lasting world peace. And I think a lot of us are young enough to remember a more recent use of that term, New World Order, after the wall fell. And I believe it was H.W. Bush used that term, referred to it numerous times, the New World Order, as a term of victory and hope. But there certainly is a New World Order in place. It is comprised of confusion and deceit. It calls good bad and bad good. It has rejected God entirely and painted his church as evil and his people as hateful. I just want to read you something I read yesterday. Quote. You probably heard about the big deal with Chick-fil-A. Nobody knows about that? Yeah. They're literally trying to pass a law to make it a hate crime to eat at Chick-fil-A. I'm not kidding. Let me read this. This is real. I'm not making this up. I was hoping it was false, but I guess it's not. We want people making fast food dining choices to think carefully about a restaurant's background, House Minority Leader and Bill co-sponsor Nancy Pelosi said in a video posted to her official YouTube account. If a restaurant's leadership is associated with Christian values in any way, frequenting their locations amounts to literal violence against minorities, women, and the gay community. Quote. Yes, folks, we are there. This is the real world. I feel like I'm living in some kind of fairy tale or something sometimes. But folks, we're there. We're at that place that we've all been told about our whole life. What's going to happen? The clock is ready to strike 12. And we had better have things in order and be ready. But leaving the political scene, a new order within God's church is also one of the primary goals of the enemy. And this was jump-started by the Industrial Revolution many moons back when men left the family farms in droves and moved to the city to work long hours in factories and in hopes to better provide for their families. But they not only walked away from their farms, they walked away from their role as the spiritual leader of the home. Mom was left holding the bag to teach the children about God so that Dad could concentrate on more important things. We have generations who have been taught by Sunday school teachers, which were 99% women, nothing against that, well-meaning ladies in dark basement rooms with flannel graphs and diluted Kool-Aid, formed the opinions of boys and girls about God while Dad stayed home to sleep. Although there has been an awakening within the church along these lines, there is still a desperate need for us to get things in order. Let's take a look at God's order of things in the Message version in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It pleases me that you continue to remember and honor me by keeping up the traditions of the faith I taught you. All actual authority stems from Christ. In a marriage relationship, there is authority from Christ to husband and from husband to wife. The authority of Christ is the authority of God. And I need 4 volunteers, and Glenn and Bonnie, you just volunteered. Brian Regnart, you know, I feel bad because I've asked you to volunteer for nefarious roles, and I just want to make sure I leave with you feeling good about yourself, so I want you to be God up here. Come on up here and be God for a while, if you would, Brian, okay? All right? Now, oh, this is perfect. Come on up here. Okay, so what I want you to do, I got this from Brother Grant, not this exact thing, but the idea. Brian Regnart, or Jesus, you come on up here. God, come on up here. Same thing. Do we need to teach you about this? Yeah. Anyway, you stand up here. Husband, I want you to come up here and put your hands on his shoulders. And Bonnie, if you can reach all the way up there, I want you to put your hand on Glenn's shoulders. And if you'd put your hand on Bonnie's shoulders. Now, here's what we got going on with the church. We got Christ is the, we just read it, right? Christ is the head of the church. He gives his authority to man, to the woman, and to the child. And this is an order. And you know what? This is extremely, extremely unpopular in today's world. Oh, if I preach this in a public setting, I would get booed. I would get booed really bad. But I'm sorry, I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible knows what it's talking about. But here's what happens. Okay, I can see how court. Can you guys chew gum and walk at the same time? Okay. When I say right, left, you know, like in the army marching, okay, can you do that? You know, this one's your right, that one's your left. Okay. All right, got it? All right. Right. In step. Okay. Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. So it's kind of like what we got going on here is kind of like a little train, don't we? Like a little choo-choo train. You can stop now. You can stop now. I know you're in charge, God, but what we have is a train, and you know about trains, and when you have multiple of anything pulling together, they can pull a lot of weight, much, 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 much more than what one can pull. So here's our family unit, is the way God designed for it to be. This is God's order for the family. Does that make sense? Does anybody agree with me? This is God's order for the family. So here's what typically happens. I shouldn't say typically. This regularly happens, okay? Is we have the man, he's a little distracted, and he hasn't found time to pray in about 17 years. And he prefers Louis L'Amour to the Bible. And he's busy, works a lot. So, quite honestly, he doesn't really get a lot of spiritual, doesn't provide a lot of spiritual guidance on down the row here to the wife and to the children. So, the wife, out of desperation, because she's worried about the back of the train and herself and him too, is what she'll do is, Pastor Roy, could I volunteer you for a second? Here's what will happen a lot of cases, is the wife will go and she'll grab Pastor and she'll try and insert him right here in between Glenn and God and say, you know, Pastor, I can't listen to Joe Lunchbucket here. I need help from you. And so the wife will insert Pastor right here in the family unit, or try to. And that happens. That does happen. And thank you, Pastor Grant. Appreciate that. So the wife will get out of order, and she'll start, maybe she'll, out of frustration, she'll just say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to push you around. Well, I guess I am. I'm here now. And then sometimes what happens is the child sees the confusion going on up here, and she says, I know better than these doughheads. Hey, that kind of language is used, trust me, and worse. And so she tries to get up here and say, Mom, Dad, you know. And so what happens, we could illustrate a bunch of different scenarios, couldn't we? But bottom line, are things in order? They are not in order at all. They're jumbled up. They're a mess. Okay, now, okay, you go right, left, right, left, right, left. Come on, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. What do we have? We got nothing. Do we? We have a mess. Thank you very much for helping me make that illustration. Now, as much as we may claim that this whole new world order thing has not made its way into the church, can we be honest and let me ask some rhetorical questions here? Men, how many of you men are feeling uncomfortable because you like the way things are and you want your wife to continue to lead in spiritual things while you lead in more important things, like picking what kind of car to drive and where to take the family vacation? Women, are you getting hot under the collar at the thought of submitting to your husband? Again, what I'm talking about is not popular. It's not PC. It has been thrown out by society as archaic, unenlightened. And I fear that to a degree we have allowed some of that into the church. What if the man just sits down because he doesn't feel like leading? Our train has a train wreck. And if we don't get things in order, nothing works. Nothing. The 20,000 soul revival that we are believing for will never materialize if we don't have things in order. We're not a part of society. We're part of God's church. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are not of this world. We're ambassadors of heaven. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 10. This might make you feel better about what I've been saying, men and women. It says, Paul says, don't, by the way, read too much into the differences here between men and women. Neither man nor woman can go it alone or claim priority. Man was created first as a beautiful, shining reflection of God. That is true. But the head on a woman's body clearly outshines in beauty the head of her head, her husband. The first woman came from man. True, but ever since then, every man comes from a woman. Makes sense, right? And since virtually everything comes from God anyway, let's quit going through these who's first routines. Does that make you feel a little bit better? So in our choo-choo train, the man is not more important than the woman, more important than... But there's a role that we must fulfill. Now we just had, I'm not sure if Dave Shroud is here. Is Dennis in here? Dennis is here. And who all has been on a Man Up Adventure trip? Raise your hand if you've been on a Man Up Adventure trip. Been an alumni. We got how many alumni here? Two? Oh, there's Rome. Yeah. Okay, guys, what are the concepts we teach men? What's the primary vision? What's the primary thing we teach men? And then what? Reject passivity. I won't put them on the spot and accept responsibility. And we talk about we teach men how to lead. Dennis just got back from a life changing trip in Maine, wasn't it? In the mountains of Maine. And guys, listen to what he has to say, because now it's his job to try and tell you how awesome these trips are instead of me and some of the others. You can't. The first thing he says, you can't convey it. You can't tell about how wonderful it is. But that's kind of my hot button, is affecting as many men as I can to accept their role and realize who they are, what God made them, why God made them, and do their thing. But there is one final order of things I want to mention. You see, we use Glenn and Bonnie and so forth for our little family trains. We have hundreds of those little choo-choo trains zipping around all over Calvary Gospel Church, don't we? Okay. And once we got them all chugging down the track, now is the time to insert pastor into the lineup. Because men, pastor is not head of your family. He's not pastor of your family. You are pastor of your family. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Submitting to our spiritual leaders can be a real challenge, can't it? It's easier to just listen to the preaching and then pick and choose what portions we really like and just kind of ignore the rest. Am I the only one that's ever unwittingly done that, or have you guys, or you just take it all, the whole package, and take it home and implement it all? I guess I'm the only one, but I'm being honest with you, Pastor Roy. Folks, if you have fallen into this mindset, you are terribly at risk and have taken yourself out from under the umbrella of God's protection. Your little train is headed for a train wreck, big time. I personally have never had a perfect pastor. I've had quite a few pastors over the years, and every last one of them had flaws and made mistakes. But we need to have the attitude of David and Saul. David honored his position When he had opportunity, his men encouraged him to. Saul was trying to kill him. You know the story. His men said, now's your chance. And he said, no, how can I touch God's anointed? How can I touch God's anointed? You remember the incident, I think it was the second time that he had the opportunity to destroy Saul. And he thought, well, I'll show him that I was able to, but I didn't. And he just cut a little piece off the bottom of his robe and he got back up the hill. And although he didn't hurt Saul in any way, the respect that he had for God's anointed was so great that he felt so guilty. He felt very sorrowful that he had even done that. How can I touch God's anointed? Do you think this may have possibly contributed to the reason David was called a man after God's own heart? Does this match your attitude toward your pastor? Let me share with you my personal experience along these lines. I guess you could call this a confession, although I have already confessed it to pastor. Not something I'm comfortable talking about, because none of us, God called me several years ago, unfortunately, to being annoyingly transparent, annoying to me. Because it's uncomfortable. It doesn't come natural. But I told God, okay, I'm going to be transparent. So I'm being transparent with you tonight. Maybe my experience will help put your life in perspective. The last several years have been times of great change at Calvary Gospel Church, haven't they? And during these times of change, I had certain expectations that were not met. There were areas of leadership that I felt drawn to, but others were named to lead rather than myself. And this happened several times until something tragic happened. I developed a wounded spirit. I began to think that Pastor did not trust me anymore, that I had somehow offended him. I began to reason perhaps it was because I was too old. Maybe that's why some of these young bucks were appointed rather than myself. And I felt rejected and hurt, and every time I came to church, I looked up at Pastor and I felt pain. This is my past I'm talking about, not my present, okay? I began to become bitter. But one thing, in the midst of my confession, I'll just say this. One thing I had going for me is my lifelong habit of prayer, because at least God had opportunity to kick me in the ribs. Because one day in prayer, God came to me. After he had tired of my little pity party, and he began to chastise me. And I still remember God's words to me. The conversation went something like this. God, to me, you are at a crossroads in your life. You can either turn to the left and live the balance of your life bitter, or you can turn to the right and live life according to my plan. Now, let me ask you a few questions, God said. Do you trust Roy? Me? Yes, absolutely. God, do you feel he is the man to lead Calvary Gospel Church? Me? Yes, absolutely. God, do you think Roy hears directly from me? me. Yes. God. Well then, there must be something else going on that you haven't considered yet. Talk to him. So I remember one Sunday night after church approaching Pastor Roy and relating to him this conversation I had with God, and his reaction was to tear up immediately. And he said with a smile, "I have a letter for you at home." The gist of the letter was that God told Pastor Roy that I was to return to Montana to finish the work that I had started as a young man. The work was not yet completed, and these 18 years at Calvary Gospel Church were training for me so that I could go back and complete what was started. My little mind games I had participated in were a ruse from the enemy to stop my progress, to ruin my ministry, to destroy my soul. God had already told me to return to Montana not a month prior to this conversation. And I thank God for the confirmation I received from Pastor. God is an amazing, personal God. And if you are struggling with submitting to the leaders God has placed over you, you need to get things in order. You will never, ever, ever have God's blessing on your life if you are in conflict with leadership. I trust this man. I trust him. So God kindly pieced it together. Well, you trust him. You think he hears from me. Why are you off chasing this and listening to that? And I just think there might be some mind games that are being played in some minds and hearts and families, in some trains that are out of order. The cars have become unhooked, and as we illustrated here, everybody, each of the cars is just going off in its own direction, and there's really no direction, and there's no leadership, and there's no progress, and it's a train wreck in motion. If we refuse to get things in order, we will digress into the same condition that Israel was in Judges 17 and 6, where it says, "For in those days Israel had no king, so everyone did whatever he wanted to, whatever seemed right in his own eyes." There was total anarchy and confusion, and Israel began a free fall into oblivion. We cannot, we must not allow Calvary Gospel Church to fall into that condition. I don't think that it's anywhere close to that. This is preventive medicine, and we just can't allow that to happen. And if we truly want revival, if we truly want to fulfill God's call on us, then we need to get things in order. And the way to accomplish this is to repent. We need to change our minds and commit to God that we indeed are willing to change. We are willing to submit. We are willing to get things in order. I know this is a little different. Vicki, if you just want to come up and just play something, we don't need to have a song per se, but can we just all stand tonight? I was transparent and I was open with you. Let you know what kind of crazy mind games I had going on in my head. So, if we can just all be honest tonight and transparent with each other. And I know, beyond a shadow of doubt, when I talked about the order of things, but the husband leading the family, the husband having his hands on the shoulders of Jesus Christ so that he can pass on what he receives from Jesus directly to the wife and to the child. I know that that is not happening in every family here. I know that. And I don't say this to scream and yell and make you feel bad. It's time to get things in order. It's time to get things in order. And it's not too late. And wives, some of you have been disappointed in your husband, and there's pain, painful memories that. And when I just mentioned what I just mentioned, you thought, oh yeah, right, my husband. And all of us have had our toes stepped on by a pastor because he hears from God. What does the Bible say when who the Lord loves? He chastises. He uses this man to do so in many cases, many times. So what I'd like us to do is just come up here. And, you know, if you have a problem with Pastor Roy, and I'm not going to try to open a can of worms here, Pastor Roy, but if you have a problem in your heart submitting to this man's authority, you better stink and get things in order. Because if you gave me time and a few scriptures, I think I could prove to you that you're not even saved. So that shows where I was, huh? So if you are having problems in your heart with any of the leadership, you need to come up here and you need to make things right. Husbands and wives, come on up here. And we all need healing in our marriages. Vicki and I have been married for 38 years, and you know what? I still put my foot in my mouth and I still make a lot of mistakes. So, husbands, if you have been reneging on your responsibility, if your train is out of order in your home, now don't say this if you don't mean it, but you know, one thing I do realize is that women really appreciate transparency. And if we don't sit here and swagger around and flex our biceps and pretend that we're tough and know everything and don't need anybody else, that's a bunch of baloney. But what they do appreciate is if we're transparent, and if you could just say, honey, sorry. And I'm not promising you that I'm going to have an immediate change in my life, but I want you to know something. I'm going to work on it. Because I see right now that things are not in order, and I need to get them in order. If anything at Calvary Gospel Church is ever going to work at maximum efficiency, we got to have all of our individual little trains in order. If pastor has to go around, he spends all of his time trying to put the little choo-choo train cars back together in the right order in all of our families, where does that leave the rest of Dane County? It leaves them lost just like they are now, with no hope of ever getting saved. So like I said before, and I may cross your theology, but men, I believe that you're the pastor of your home. You need to hear from God. Your wife, your family needs to hear from you and know that you pray, that you read your Bibles. Women, wives, you've been beat up a lot over the years. You really have. But if you are anything close to what I just described, you're hurt and you're having a difficult time submitting to the leadership of your husband, for you may have very valid reasons. But you know what? It's not your job, wives, to make your husband be in order there. It's just your job to line up in the train, put your car in the position that it's supposed to be in. And when you do that, I think you'd be amazed how you affect the car in front of you. Children, just teenagers. I remember what it was like to be a teenager. And I can't believe that someone didn't just shoot me and put me out of my misery. But if you're not in order, and if you're not submitted to your parents, you have no zero chance of succeeding in anything. So there's lots of getting in order that I'm talking about, and I'm covering a lot of ground in a short period of time. I guess not that short period of time. But tonight, can we just take some time, forget about all the other people in here, and it's just, again, if you need to come to pastor, come to pastor. Say, Pastor Roy, I'm sorry. Maybe you didn't even realize it till now. Maybe God quickened your mind that, oh yeah, I remember pastor said something and I rejected it. Let's pray together, can we? This is God's church. Let's all of us pray together. Jesus, we want to have our house in order. We want to have your body in order. God, you are a God of order. You do all things decently and in order. And we live in a culture that is very, very, very messed up. And God, we have people here that have been raised in that, taught that their entire lives. And it's hard to, even though we're filled with your Spirit, to just immediately change and become a different person. There are so many things in our lives that just take time. It takes your grace and your love and your persistence, and it takes us to keep going back to you. And when we fall, when we mess up and make mistakes, that we just get up and, like David did, oh God, my sin is ever before me. I have failed you. Forgive me. And when that happens, God, you hear. You hear from heaven, and you'll heal our land, and you'll heal our families, and you'll turn Calvary Gospel Church into a juggernaut of power and revival that nothing
Nothing can stop. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus for each family, each husband, each wife, each child. God, that you'd help us to be what you want us to be. Help us, Jesus, to align ourselves, to get things in order. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We praise you, God. Hala Maria Kosondolo Maria Kasanla. Hidalala Ramasiki Asoto. Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. You were, oh Lord, we lift you up. It's all about you, yeah. It's all about you. You were, you're worthy, oh Lord, we lift you up. Ooh, it's all about you, yeah. All about you.